Thank you, Lord. Yours will be the only name that matters to me, the only one whose favor I seek, the only name that matters to me. Yours will be the friendship and affection I need, to feel my Father smiling on me, the only name that matters to me. The name, the name that saved me, mercy and grace, the power that forgave me, and your love is all I've ever needed. When I wake up in the land of glory, with the saints I will tell my story. There will be one name that I proclaim. When I wake up in the land of glory, with the saints I will tell my story. There will be one name that I proclaim. La 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 la. Yours will be the only name that matters to me, the only one whose favor I see, the only name that matters to me. Yours will be the friendship and affection I need, to feel my Father smiling on me, the only name that matters to me. Yours is the name that saved me, mercy and grace, the power that forgave me, and your love is all I've ever needed. When I wake up in the land of glory, with the saints I will tell my story. There will be one name that I proclaim. I wake up in the land of glory, with the saints I will tell my story. There will be one name that I proclaim. La 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 la. Jesus, 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 just that name. Jesus, 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 just that name. When I wake up in the land of glory, with the saints I will tell my story. There will be one name that I proclaim. When I wake up in the land of glory, with the saints I will tell my story. There will be one name that I proclaim. La 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 la. Oh, praise your name, Lord Jesus. Oh, we lift up your name. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, let your kingdom come here. Let your will be done here in us. Jesus, there is no one greater. You alone are Savior. Show the world your love. King of heaven, come down. King of heaven, come now. Let your glory reign, shining like the day. King of heaven, come. King of heaven, rise up. Who can stand against us? You are strong to save in your mighty name. King of heaven, come. Children of your mercy, rescue for your glory. We cry, Jesus, set our hearts toward you, that every eye would see you lifted high. King of heaven, come down. King of heaven, come now. Let your glory reign, shining like the day. King of heaven, come. King of heaven, rise up. Who can stand against us? You are strong to save in your mighty name. King of heaven, come.
Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Oh, Ramamamamantai. Praise you, Jesus. I'm calling on the God of Jacob, whose love endures through generations. I know that you will keep your covenant. I'm calling on the God of up the Red Sea. I need you now to do the same thing for me. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need shepherd boy courageous. I may not face Goliath, but I've got my own giant. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock, oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness, your faithfulness. You heard your children then. You hear your children now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You answered prayers back then, and you will answer now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You were providing then. You are providing now. You are the same God. You are the same God. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness. Praise your matchless name, Lord. Oh, Rabbapantarai. Oh, Ramamanteshe. Oh, we adore you, Lord. We adore you. Haramamambarianantarai. Praise your name, Lord. In the darkness we were waiting without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in.
Christ was born, and the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel, the truth of old, shall not heal, shall not fade. By his blood and his name, in his freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King. Praise the Father. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. Praise forever to the King of Kings. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Oh God, we praise your name. We praise your name. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I looked up and I was about to say you can be seated, but obviously you knew that. So we're continuing on our weekly 5-minute foundations. These are really important, short, little teachings on what we believe and why we believe it. And today we are looking at the importance of the Bible in daily living. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture, somebody say all scripture, even the ones that disagree with your thoughts, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful in teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God or the woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. There is a lot of biblical illiteracy out there right now. People believe all kinds of things, but if you go to the Word of God, you will stay rooted in the truth. The Bible is Holy Spirit breathed. And you fill in your little forms there that you got with your bulletin, just write it in there. The Bible is Holy Spirit breathed, and it's God's Word to us. We should be reading our Bibles daily. Daily Bible reading is essential for a healthy Christian walk. Just you eat every day. In fact, you eat multiple times a day. So we need to eat from God's Word every day if we're going to be healthy. God's Word reveals God's plan of salvation. Maybe we're saved, but it will reassure us of what He is doing. Reading the Bible helps us grow spiritually. If you want to be more spiritual, you have to be more biblical. They go together. It helps us to know God. We get the heart of God from His Word. It gives us guidance and direction. This is very important. It helps me all the time. I'll be praying about something, looking at something. I read the Word, and it will become clear. Somehow, He through His Word, He helps me understand what my next steps need to be. You know, it's important, I believe, for us to have some sort of a reading program. Just flipping open, you know, picking a verse here and a chapter there. That's fine. It's reading the Bible. But get a reading plan. There's all kinds of them around there. Talk to me after service. I can get you tuned into some. But have a regular reading program. You don't have to read the books of the Bible in order. You can read them. In fact, I don't, for reasons I don't have time to go into right now, but I don't. But to read entire books is a good thing because it gives us context. We know we take verses sometimes and we pull a scripture out and we read it and we apply it in ways that God never intended. But when we read it in context, we will understand this is what he said, this is where he said it, this is why he said it. It's good to read entire books. And I'm reading myself personally. I read the Old Testament and the New Testament at the same time. I read in both places. And I keep track of the books so that I'm not just going to my favorites. I have favorite books. How many have favorite books? And then there's some that are a little bit more, you need a little bit more discipline to get through. And I could name them, but I'm not going to. Okay, so we just have a reading program. Then this way we don't neglect any. So as you read the Bible, ask this. How does this apply to me? You just read some verses. How does this apply to me today in my circumstances? Number two, are there commands or examples to follow? That's what you ask yourself as you read this. Is there something? And are there promises to believe and receive? Is there something God wants to give you today as you read the Bible and you can just acquire that and take it? I'm going to just close with this. At our men's Bible study, the outline that we have, this is what we do every Monday night. We read the scripture and we say, what does it say? Why does it say it? And how does it apply to me? And that's what we need to be doing day by day. What does the scripture say? Why is it saying it? And what does it mean to me? Brothers and sisters, read your Bibles.
Amen. Thank you. All right. Would you stand one more time with us if you want? We have one more song we'd like to sing. We've sung about Jesus as the King of Kings and the King of Heaven. And now this last song, King of My Heart. Jesus, we know He's the King of Heaven, and we know He's the King of Kings. How much of your heart does He have? I hope He has all of it.
The King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, He is my song. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, He is my song. Let the King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, He is my song. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, He is my song. You are. Fire inside my veins, the echo of my days. Oh, He is my song. You are good. Oh, You are good. Good. Oh, You are good. Good. Oh,
gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You are good, Lord. You are good, good. Today, Lord, you are good. You are good. You are good. Father, we thank you. We give you thanks and praise for your goodness in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You can be seated if you aren't already. Thank you, Father. And thank you, worship team. Do you appreciate all the people that come and help play music? I so appreciate it. Thank you. I'd like to ask you to please remember the family of Denise Regan today. You probably saw the emails and prayer requests that went out during the week. Her sister Donna passed away, and she's especially asking for prayer for her, for Donna's husband Fred, and their family. It was quite a battle that her sister had with her stroke, and so. We want to remember to lift them up and lift up Pat and Denise. They're gone today and traveling and probably having to deal with all that goes with the family. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the Regan family. We thank you for Pat and Denise. We pray that your blessing would be on them today. Father, that you would use them in this time to bring your comfort and your grace to Donna's family, to Fred, Father, and to the rest. God, that you would touch them and bring comfort, Father, in their loss. Father, we continue to lift up to you also the Manning family. God, that you would comfort them in the loss of Ron. Pray that you would bless Bev and Will and Robin, and Lord, all of the family, that you would continue to move and help them. Father, in my heart, I remember the Rositsky family, and God, I pray that you would be with Ernie and Lynn, and Lord, as they continue to walk through the grief of the loss of their son. And Father, we pray that for all of these families, that your hand would be close to them, and that you would encourage them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen, amen. I often ask for testimonies, but I have a quick little testimony to share with you. It was a little thing, but it was very poignant to me. During the summer, this is the time of year when I'm not working full-time at school, that I can actually fix some of the things that have gone wrong at my house all year long, that I don't get to because I'm either teaching or I'm pastoring. And I have a house with lots of old asbestos shingles, and they get broken and crunched, and it's so hard to replace them. Obviously, you can't replace them with asbestos, and it's hard to find the replacements. So I went online and I found them. I had to buy a big bundle, and I didn't want to spend $150 buying a big bundle. I only needed three. I said, God, help me to find it. I just need three shingles. So I started to call around, And I happened to call down at Facet Lane. And they said, we don't really know what you're talking about. And I said, well, here, we'll send you to the manager, and you can leave him a voicemail, and he'll call you back. So I left a message about my needing these replacement cement board shingles. And he called me back a few minutes later, and he said, oh, yeah, as soon as I heard your voicemail, I knew exactly what you needed. And we happen to have three of them here. That's all we have. And they've been laying around since 2013. So I said, glory to God, I'm going to take them. I said, the Lord had those set aside for me. He goes, yeah, that's a weird coincidence. I'm like, no coincidence. No coincidence. Glory to God. I lost something here. With the fans blowing, papers tend to move. I was grateful my music didn't blow off the piano this morning, but my PowerPoint did. So, today I'd like to talk about, and you can bring that up, Adam, if it'll come up, the subject of prayer. And we've shared quite a bit on the subject of prayer, but I want to take some time and look at a little bit different aspect of prayer today. And I'm going to start in Luke chapter 11. If you have your Bible, you can turn there, but I do have a lot of this on the screen as well. Luke chapter 11, and beginning in the first verse and on through the 13th. One day, in a place where Jesus had just finished praying, one of his disciples requested, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. So Jesus told them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Then Jesus said to them, suppose one of you goes to his friend at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. Because a friend of mine has come to me on a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And suppose the one inside answers, do not bother me. My door is already shut and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up to give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up to provide for him because of his friendship, yet because of the man's persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? So if you, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I think that most of us here today, if you've been in the church any length of time, you understand the importance of prayer. Prayer is the backbone of everything we do. Jesus in John 15 said, apart from me, you can do nothing, nothing. And Jesus said, I only do the things I see my Father doing. And to understand and know what the Father's doing requires prayer. And Jesus set the example for that. He was a man of prayer. He was praying when the Holy Spirit descended on him in Luke 3. He prayed all night before choosing his disciples. The scripture tells us that he often withdrew to solitary places and prayed. And even before he was transfigured on the mount, he and his disciples went up to the mountain to pray. Jesus was a man of prayer, and we understand from his example just how incredibly important it is to pray. But then I come to the question. So
we pray, but and we pray some more, and we pray some more. But what about when we pray, and nothing seems to happen? Have you prayed prayers, and you've prayed prayers, and it seems like, God, nothing happened. What's going on? Does it mean that that God didn't hear? Did it mean maybe we were naughty that week and did something bad, so God's not going to answer our prayer just to show us? I'm going to show you. Sometimes we pray, and it's like, God, where's the answer? Where is it? And how many of you wrestled with that question sometimes? You pray, and you pray, and you pray, and you pray. It's like, come on, God. When is it going to happen? This brings us to that parable that Jesus told about the persistent friend that we just looked at. Persistence there is an interesting Greek word. It says, yet because of the man's persistence, anadia, it literally means shamelessness, absolute bald-faced shamelessness. In Matthew 15, we have a Canaanite woman who is pursuing Jesus. And she's come to him, Lord, my daughter is vexed by a demon. Deliver her. And what does Jesus do? He ignores her. It says he just kept right on walking. She's shouting at him, Jesus, help me. And Jesus just walks right by. Now, wait a minute. This is Jesus. How can he doesn't do that. Yeah, he walked right by her. He ignored her. But she kept it up. Jesus! Finally, his disciples came and said, Lord, send this woman away. She won't stop. She's driving us crazy. And so he says, oh, bring her to me. And she says, Lord, my daughter is suffering. Have mercy on me. Deliver her from her spirit. And what does he say to her? I can't take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. So first he ignores her, walks by her, ignores her shouting and screaming. Then when she finally comes to him, he insults her. He calls her a dog. I can't give the children's bread to Canaanites like you. And she just said, but Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs from the table. And he said, oh boy, have you got faith? Zap, it's done. It's done. But it was shameless persistence. Now, I'm telling you, if I was in her place and Jesus walked by me and ignored me, and then he said, no, I'm not going to give you anything. Well, in my heart, I think, would I have been tempted to say, well, okay, Lord, thy will be done. Did you hear that? Sometimes we say, well, Lord, your will be done. I guess it's not your will. But this lady, she's like, no, I'm not going to take no for an answer. And she continues, Lord, even then. Now, you know, there is a place for that where we say, God, your will be done. I don't want to make light of that. But the call is for perseverance in our praying, in our seeking of Jesus, and our reaching out to him. Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Oh, are you tempted to give up when you pray about things and it doesn't seem like anything happens? And are you tempted to say, well, I guess this is just something I have to live with? Or are you prepared to continue to seek the face of God? You know, I tell people when they're sick and they're facing difficulties, I tell them, I am going to pray for you, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to keep praying until Jesus heals you or you go to be with Jesus. One way or the other, I'm not going to quit. And I want to encourage you in your prayers. Believe. I was part of a group at one time that had been praying for revival. Praying for revival. And they had individuals and groups across a whole broad spectrum praying. And they'd been praying for breakthrough and revival for over 30 years. 30 years. But they didn't see the breakthrough and the revival that they were praying for. And then they made what I thought was a mistake. They started to say, something must be wrong. What could be wrong? We've prayed for 30 years and we still don't see revival. And now that's not an unnatural response. You start to think, wow, God hasn't answered. Is something wrong? Is there something wrong with me? But they started searching and they decided that they had not repented enough. So they went into this very deep repentance kind of thing. And I went to one of the prayer meetings and they were repenting for the sins of the area, the sins of the people that lived there. I mean, not even themselves, but, you know, sin in the church, sin in the community, sin this, that. And it was the atmosphere of forced repentance. It was just difficult. And there was it was almost a prevailing heaviness and oppressiveness. And when I walked out of, my wife and I walked out of the meeting, and my wife said, "So what did you think of the meeting?" And I sort of stopped for a minute and I said, "Well," I said, "I thought it was awful." And she said, "Oh, thank goodness, I was afraid you were going to tell me you liked it." But it was just very heavy. And I want to encourage you, when you're praying and seeking God, and it gets hard and you're waiting and looking to Him, don't go fishing. Don't start going fishing for, well, is there something wrong with me? Maybe I don't have enough faith? Oh, that's one. Oh, you just don't have enough faith. No. Yeah, there's a lot in the scripture about faith, but look at this, Galatians 6:9. Let us not be weary in doing good, for at the proper time, and at the right time, that literally means the correct season. And who decides that? God decides that. And 2 Peter 3:8, it says, "A day to the Lord, with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day." Now, I don't like that very much, but what that means is that for God, the difference between a day and praying for 30 years is this. That's it. In His economy. Now, for us, it seems like a stinking long time. But there's a principle in the scripture that over and over and over of waiting. And I hate to wait. Do you hate to wait? I hate to wait. I'm sorry, Lord, but I do. But there's times where we pray and we seek God and we don't see breakthrough, and then it's time to continue to wait on Him. I think about how long Abraham and Sarah had to wait. And wait. The Jews waited for their Messiah for thousands of years. And now Jesus has come, and now it's been 2,000 years, and we're waiting for His return. But is He going to come back? Absolutely He is. He might be on His way right now. Now, clearly, there are some things that can hinder our prayers. I'm not saying that there aren't. And for the sake of completion, I mentioned them. James 4:3, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. So wrong motives. The Lord's caught me in that. I have been times where I've prayed about things and then I found out it was really I was praying for something because I wanted it. having proper motives is really, really, really important. Secondly, if you know there's a sin in your life that God wants to deal with and He's working on, Psalm 66:18. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Now, that doesn't mean that every time if you do something wrong or if you sin or you make a mistake that God isn't going to hear you anymore. Notice the word cherished. Do you see that? That's important, right? Oh, my pointer won't shine on that. But cherish, or that means to love it, to embrace it. The Lord doesn't hear us. Unforgiveness can hinder your prayers. Mark 11:25, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them. It's so incredibly important that we forgive. And then another thing that can hinder prayer is wrong relationships. If you've got offense that has happened, if you've offended someone or someone is offended with you, Matthew 5, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar. Go and be reconciled to your brother. So in other words, get things right with people. And all of those things can interfere with your prayers. But otherwise, if beyond those things, we have to be willing to train ourselves to persist in our prayers. And sometimes there's understanding that there's warfare involved in behalf, especially if you're interceding for somebody. In Daniel chapter 10, it says that Daniel went on this 3-week fast. He was fasting and praying and mourning. The nation of Israel had been carried off into exile, and he's praying and seeking God for 21 days, and in Daniel 10:5, an angel appears to him. And in verse 12, he says, Daniel, from the very first day that you began praying, you were heard, and I was sent. But then it says that a prince of the power of the air, a prince of Persia, was opposed me from coming to you. There was spiritual battle there. I don't understand that, but the angel did not appear to Daniel for 21 days while he was battling a demonic presence. And so when we pray, there's also our prayers are warfare. We pray against the demon spirits. And there's a battle there. And it would be great if we could just say, be gone in Jesus' name, and wham, it's gone. But there may be some prayer and intercession and real battle that happens in our prayers. Daniel persisted for 21 days, fasting and praying and seeking God. And the scripture says he was heard the first day, but the answer came through warfare, spiritual warfare. I'd like to take just a few minutes and examine a scriptural example of prevailing prayer in the life of Jacob in the Old Testament. And this is Genesis 32. I'm not going to touch on every verse in this, but I am going to highlight some things in this story. In Genesis chapter 32, Jacob is traveling home again after with his whole household. And when we say household, it wasn't he and his 1.8 children and a U-Haul van with some stuff. He had a lot of stuff. He had flocks. He had herds. He had servants. He had kids. He had he came back with a ton of stuff. He had been gone for 20 years, and he was in great distress because coming home meant that he was going to have to face his brother Esau. Now, Esau was not particularly fond of Jacob. for a number of reasons. And if you've read the story, you know, first of all, Esau was the firstborn. The firstborn in a family in Israel was very important. It was the sign of their father's first strength, and it meant that they would get a double inheritance, twice as much as everybody else would get. So if you were the firstborn, that was a big deal. You had a lot coming. And it meant that you were kind of at the head of your house. You were the favored son. You were the one that was going to step into the leadership role. So the firstborn was a big deal. That's why it was such a big deal when God struck the Egyptians, and who died? The firstborn. So here we have Esau. He's the firstborn, but Jacob had tricked Esau into selling him his birthright. Esau comes in, and he's just starved. He's so hungry. He feels like he's going to die. He's so hungry. And Jacob had just cooked some real tasty stuff, and it smelled really good. And Esau said, oh, give me some of that. And Jacob says, well, okay, doesn't it smell good? I'll give you some of this. You want some? Yes, do it. Well, first, give me your birthright. What? Don't you want some of this stew? And Esau ends up saying, okay. And he swears to him and gives him his birthright. Then later on, when it's time for Isaac to pass, he's going to die, and he calls people in to pray a prophetic blessing over them. Jacob pretends he's Esau, goes in, gets Esau's wonderful blessing, and then when Esau goes in, Isaac says, someone's already been here. He's taken your blessing. So you can see that Esau was not fond of Jacob. And he decided that after his father died, he said, I'm going to kill Jacob. That's why Jacob fled. So 20 years later, he's coming back. Back he comes. Well, it says on the way, because he knew that Esau wanted to kill him, as the travelers reached the last part of their journey, something happens with Jacob. A man appears to him in the night. He separates himself from everybody else. He knows he's getting close, and he goes off and separates himself, and a man appears to him in the night. Well, it's the angel of the Lord. And the scripture says that Jacob wrestled with this angel all night long. An all-night wrestling match. He grabs a hold of this guy. And they're wrestling, they're fighting. So Jacob was left all alone, and there a man wrestled with him until daybreak. Very, very interesting as they wrestle and wrangle, and Jacob refuses to let go. And finally the angel says, let go of me already. It's almost daybreak. Let go. And Jacob says, I will not let go of you until you bless me. Well, the angel goes zap and dislocates his hip. So he's hardly able to walk. He still won't let go. He says, I'm not letting go until you bless me. And so in verse 28, the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men, and you have prevailed. Wow. Now, this was not just a physical wrestling match all night. We can read more about it in Hosea chapter 12. This is also speaking of Jacob. In the womb he grasped his brother's heel, and in his vigor he wrestled with God. Notice it says he wrestled with God. The angel of the Lord was that who he was wrestling with. Yes, he struggled with the angel and he prevailed. He wept and sought his favor. He found him at Bethel and spoke with him there. Jacob was wrestling in hanging on to him, and he's praying and weeping for favor. He's got to say, "You've got to help me." And Jacob prevailed with God in prayer. He hung on and he kept it up and he persisted. And as a result, his family was welcomed by Esau in peace. Now, part of the reunion was due to Jacob's obedience. God actually, in Genesis 31:3, told him to go back. Told him, it's time to go back. But there was Esau. And prayer should always be made within the promises of God. You know, we can have confidence in our prayers when they're aligned with God's truth. We heard about how important it is to read the scriptures. One of the reasons it's important to read the scriptures is so that you can pray in alignment with what God has said. And God told him it was time to go back. Could Jacob have said, "Well, God told me to go, so everything will be okay. I'll just go. I'm just going to believe God." No, it was God's will for Jacob to wrestle that promise out in prayer and prevail over the angel. He had to fight. He had to do it. There was a wrestling and a prevailing. God told him. You know, sometimes we just say, "Well, we just have to accept God, what God said in faith." No, pray it through. Wrestle it through and believe God and hang on to him until it comes to pass. I have a friend who is praying for their son, and she is praying and praying and praying, and they haven't seen the breakthrough, but she said something to me once. She said, "Well, it says, you know, knock and it shall be opened." And she said, "I'm knocking on the door and I'll die outside that door knocking until God moves." She says, I'm gonna just keep knocking. Wendy Herr. Sister Wendy, she says, I will die at that door before I stop knocking and pounding for what she wanted. And she was believing God for God to move in their family. Jacob hung on and he prevailed, even fought and wrestled with that angel in the face of what God already told him to do. And it's interesting, but Jacob did not demand something of God. His prayer was one in humility. You know, when he returned, when he prayed, Genesis 32:10, he said, Lord, I am unworthy of the kindness and faithfulness you have shown your servant. I had only my staff when I crossed this Jordan, but now I have become two camps. I got an extra verse in there. I must have mixed up my PowerPoint at one point there. He says, I'm unworthy. And so it wasn't like, "God, you promised me that you're going to do it, and you have to do this because it's in your..." Have you heard people pray like that? Yeah. I just find that to be abrasive when we don't come to God in humility. Yes, his word might say something, but do we get to demand anything from God? "God, you have to do this because your word says it, and I'm claiming it, and I'm decreeing and declaring this." And I hear people pray that, and it just grates my spirit. Yes, there's room for confidence in prayer, but can we pray a prayer where we ask, where we bring those needs to God, and we ask him, and we pray, and we say, "Father, we know your word says this. We're asking you to do this." And Jacob just said, "I'm unworthy of the kindness you've shown me." He didn't demand it. He wasn't entitled. And when he returned, he approached Esau and called him "my Lord." He said, my Lord, and described him, "I'm your servant Jacob." Mainly, I guess, because he didn't want Esau to lop his head off. I can understand that. But his message to Esau concluded with that, "I might find favor in your sight." He didn't demand the honor of the birthright. It's very important that we allow God to move without our demands or our entitlement. The only thing we're really entitled to, as I can see from the scriptures, is hell. But because we're saved, he gives us an inheritance that we don't deserve and that we don't earn. But here on this earth, we ask. And we ask in faith, knowing that he said that if we ask, he would honor us, but we don't demand. But I like how Jacob also, he was very persistent. He prayed through before the crisis, and God heard his prayers, yet he still had to face the awful situation. Here, he's coming home, and Esau comes out with 400 men. Well, what do you think that is? That sounds like an army. So he's prayed. God's told him to go home. He's wrestled with the angel all night. God changes his name from deceiver to one who has overcome Israel. And so he heads home, and all of a sudden, here comes Esau with 400 men. Ah! So he separates his group into two different camps and sends presents on ahead, and he's still trying to pacify him. But that's when the promise came, when he persisted, when the angel of the Lord said, "You have prevailed against God." He held on and he didn't let go. When we need something from God, I want to encourage you to grab hold of it with all your might and don't let go. And it cost Jacob something. He didn't walk right after that. He walked with a limp after he had that battle. He had to put something into him, into it. But God changed his name from deceiver to wrestler with God and overcomer. So I want to encourage you, what are you praying over? Grab hold of that relative that you're praying for, that mom or dad or son or daughter or husband or wife, family members, people, and don't give up. If you're praying for revival, don't give up. Maybe it'll take a year. Maybe it'll take 5 years, 10 years. And you know what? Maybe you won't even see it in this life. That's possible too. But you can know that you're building on a sure foundation of prayer, that God's going to do something. I never forgot the story of the missionary who sold everything, went to Africa, went to a remote tribe way out, and preached the gospel there, spent 7 years of his life, and they absolutely did not accept anything that he said. It looked like he made no impact there at all. Nothing. So he finally got on a boat, sailed home completely discouraged, and a few years later he died. And then I don't know how many years later, 20 years later, somebody else went over and they went into that area and they found a network of churches in that whole area where this guy had been, reproducing churches. And they came in and they said, "Where did this come from? Where did this... And they said, "Oh, a man came to us 20 years ago, and he did all this stuff." And here this guy died discouraged, thinking that nothing had happened, and yet God was still at work. God heard his prayers. He saw his labor, and he didn't see it, but look what God did. There was a church in one city, and then they had grown too big, and so they started another church in another city, and that one grew, and so they started another one. When I say cities, you know, these little primitive villages, and there was like four or five of them, and they came together. They had a whole fellowship. They had a big worship hall they got together in, and nobody knew that that was happening. But God knew. God saw, and he saw. He's faithful. And somebody hung on and he got discouraged and went home, but God was still faithful and did it. So don't give up on your prayers. Persist and believe and pray for those people. Pray for breakthrough. Believe that God can do it. He's faithful. Hang on and just tell God, I will not let you go until you bless me. Bring it, God. There are days where I have just prayed that God would move in revival and that God would bring something, and I have the witness in my heart and my spirit that God's going to do it. And some days I say, God, where is it? Brother Ray had a good word for us one day in a meeting we were in. He said, well, the scripture does talk about waiting. And he said, how long did Abraham and Sarah have to wait? And I'm sitting there thinking, I didn't come here to hear that. I didn't want to hear that. But God, he knows and he moves in his time. Father, we thank you that you are faithful. We sang today, you are good. Lord, you're always good, and you are king. You are on the throne, so you get to decide. And Father, we find it so hard to wait, Lord, as we're praying. But Father, help us to pray and not to faint, to be like the person that comes and pounds on the friend's door and just drives him crazy until he can't stand it anymore. Father, like my sister Wendy, who said she's going to pound on that door until she can't pound anymore. Father, help us, Lord, to be willing, like Jacob, to grab on and not let go and believe you. Lord, whether we see it happening or not, Father, we know that your hand is always moving and always working. And so, Father, whether we see it or whether we don't, Father, I pray that you would give us a mighty perseverance in our prayers, that we could continue to pray and believe you to move. And we know that you're faithful, and we know that you're good. And Father, we lift up all those things now. Lord, there's things, as I talked about it, there's things that popped into everybody's heart and mind that they've been praying for, praying and praying and praying for. Father, in Jesus' name, we put that stuff on the altar again, and we're going to bring it again and again and again and again until the shift comes, until we see your hand move, Father. And if we don't see it, we're going to pray and believe anyway. Father, help us to be those who pray and don't faint. We know in due time, in your time, we will reap if we don't give up. Thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're here today and you would like prayer, someone will be here to pray for you. Whatever your need, God is able to meet it. And otherwise, God bless you. Hope you have a great week. Amen. Thank you, Father.